This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship Show on the BetRivers Network. I am your host, George Ellick, and as ever, I am joined by Jack Wright, but it wasn't me here, Jack, last week for the show. I was away in the States swinging a golf club around Florida and South Carolina, so you had the man, the myth, the legend, Nigel Seeley, joining you for the show, and the pressure's on me because it sounded like you two did pretty well.
We had a good midweek. Yes, it was. It was a tight turnaround, and we went and managed to get from our six selections. We got a five winners. So very nice indeed. Some decent profit added to the total. Very nice.
Yeah, that means this show has an ROI of 0.24% minus. But when you factor in that we've had all our futures bets as well added to that staking plan, we're healthily in profit, which is good to see. And as I say, the pressure's on me now to make sure that Nigel might have a target on my back looking to come and replace me. But I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to try and put a couple of winners here. I was happy to see that Josh Sargent did get on the score sheet exactly for Norwich last Saturday. I was on the driving range at TPC Sawgrass when that goal went in, which was exciting. Hopefully some people like me played the first last anytime, because it was the golden triangle of getting all three of them up. So that was good. But let's get into our picks this weekend. We've got a full slate of fixtures across the EFL. So we'll be doing three picks each from the Championship. I've got a League One pick and you've got a League Two pick. So we'll start with the Championship picks. Where are you going first?
Well, let's go back to Norwich. You know, they've served us well over the last few weeks in one form or another. We've won on corners, we've won on goals, we've won on them to win, and obviously you've won on Josh Sargent scoring. So we're going back to, it's an Asian handicap because the odds are slightly better that way. Norwich minus 0.5 at minus 122 against Coventry this weekend, Saturday game. They've not performed overly well, to be fair, the last couple of games. You've probably not seen too much of them, but they've got 6 points from six in those two away games without really performing overly well. It was backs to the wall stuff against Sunderland and a little bit of a sucker punch from Sargent's goal, but we obviously very much took that and these things sort of need to be done. And then a bit of a stodgy performance against Birmingham, come from behind. The radar wasn't quite on for Nunes with his passing, but certainly was with his free kick, which produced a great save. And then a goal as a result of that. And then a 93rd minute winner for Ronel Hernandez. So they've got the job done. And that's probably about as much as you could say over those performances. But, you know, the sign of a good side when you're winning and they're not playing particularly well. So four wins on the spin now has shot them from the depths of despair in the relegation zone up to second in the table, and they'll be looking to make the most of this one. They have had a fairly good run of fixtures, to be fair. I'd say there's no one that you'd suggest would be in the top six come the end of the season that they've played so far, and this would be another one. Coventry currently rock bottom, mainly because they've only had one home game due to their pitch, but then they lost that in midweek against Preston. 1 point picked up from their three away games so far. That was in the first game of the season against Sunderland, and then 2-3-2 defeats. So plenty of entertainment, but lacking in points. And so they are currently bottom. They've suffered. You feel a bit sorry for Mark Robbins. They obviously sold Haim during the week. Callum O'Hare's out, injured still. I'd imagine he can't wait for the window to shut in the next few hours so he can then work with the side that he's got for the next few months. But I've said on the last podcast about the squad size starting to really show in these fixtures with the games coming thick and fast, Saturday, Tuesday. And this is certainly a case of a team that has a massive squad and lots of talent, you know, bringing Pukki, Cantwell, Hernandez, like internationals off the bench, Eder as well now back fit, and getting players back from injury against a side that haven't really got that ability. And not only can they rotate the squad, but they can impact it come the end of the game. And we've seen that both with those winning goals against Sunderland that involved players coming off the bench, Aaron Ramsey, Timo Pukki, and again on Tuesday night when they did exactly the same thing, brought some players off the bench and went and gone on to win the game. So think that's a massive impact at this moment in time. And as a result, I think this is a huge game for Norwich because, say, they have an easy run. Next up after Coventry is Burnley away, their first what I'd consider proper test this season. So they want to get another 3 points on the board. And I expect them to do that, say, at home, where they're unbeaten, winning two of the three, including the last two, against this Coventry side that are struggling a bit at the moment.
Good stuff. Yeah, Norwich on the Asian handicap there for Jack, the first pick against Coventry at home. On my first pick, we did a goal scorer first last time and it came off, so I'll do the same here. At the same price, I'm backing Naki Wells to score any time against Blackburn Rovers for Bristol City. You've had a bit of fun with Bristol City over the last couple of weeks. I didn't have so much fun with them a couple of weeks before that, but I'm hoping that this time I can get a winner in the bag. I think
that's your turn.
Yeah, exactly. I think firstly, I wouldn't put anyone off backing Bristol City here at plus 225. I think Blackburn have started the season pretty well. But I think if you look at any of the underlying data in terms of their XG data, if you look at the performances themselves, I think they've been fairly fortunate to pick up the points that they have done so far. And I would expect them to regress a little bit. We're recording this halfway through transfer deadline day, and there seem to be some pretty strong links that Ben Brereton Diaz, who scored in midweek for them yet again, could well be off to Fulham. If he does move on today, that'll be a huge blow to Blackburn in terms of their strength going forward. And I think, you know, just make them a lot weaker. And I expect that price to probably move a little bit. But rather than just putting up Bristol City to score, I think Wales is probably the better bet, the better price. Looking through their goal scorers so far this season, they're blessed to have loads. You know, Andreas Weimann was a player that I put up in the top goal scorer market pre-season, who started the season well. Antoine Semenyo is back from injury at the moment. He came off the bench on Wednesday night and scored off the bench, replacing Tommy Conway, who was a player we knew very little about before the season started. A U team graduate who's come into the side and scored four goals in all competitions already this season. Yeah. But Wells, to me, is the most overpriced. I think he is the one where, you know, he's a bigger price than Semenyo, who's favourite, who I probably expect to come in for Conway here. He's a bigger price than Weimann, who's been playing more in the number 10 role. Wells has played the last few games playing up front alongside Conway. It'll probably be Semenyo here. If it is Semenyo, again, he's another player who looks to drop in a little bit more than Conway would, who's more of a penalty box striker. Wells got the opening goal in the 2-0 win in midweek as well, with a striker's finish, a close-range finish. And he's someone who his game is all about goals. He's not someone who looks to particularly run the channels. He's not someone who looks to hold the ball up or drop in. He is a goalsman. And I do think if it is going to be Semenyo, Weimann and Wells playing, then it is likely that he will be the main goal threat between the posts. So a plus 270, the player that I think is their biggest goal threat. You know, Bristol City, we can be confident even if they don't win the game and you know, that the win price doesn't cop. We know that they are one of the best in the league in terms of creating chances. If you're looking at the expected goals open play stats, only Sheffield United and Middlesbrough have created more than their 7.81 going forward this season. And with Blackburn, as I say, maybe overperforming a little bit, I'm confident that Bristol City will definitely serve it up to them and will be able to create chances. So I think Wells, hopefully getting 2 out of 2 goal scorer picks in 2 weeks. Wells is the one for me at plus 270 to score any time. Jack, what's your second bet?
Yeah, I'm going to a game on Sunday, which is Hull versus Sheffield United.
Lucky you.
It looks a really good, really good game. I'm going on over 2.5 goals in this one at minus 108. And for me, Hull are the entertainers of the season so far. They look great fun to watch. Again, another bet that we won on in midweek, where we had over 2.5 goals when they travelled to QPR. That copped before halftime. Admittedly, all the goals were from QPR that day, but that's kind of how Hull are. They did score in the second half, but say 24 goals in their 7 games in the league so far this season. So action at both ends, certainly. 6 of the 7 games have seen both teams score, which always helps when you're even looking for an over 2.5 goals bet. 5 of the 7 have seen over 2.5 goals. The anomaly in there really is the game against Preston, but we can score that out because Preston are just on an absolutely ridiculous run of just deciding they're not going to concede a goal all season. So we can say that, you know, that's fair enough. We will discount that one. As say, a very odd one in the mix. Their philosophy just seems to be at this moment in time that we're going to score more goals than you. That old sort of Kevin Keegan back in the day philosophy, where it's just a case of all out attack and sort of leaving the back door open. So great fun to watch, unless you're a Hull fan. obviously they've got a fantastic striker of their own at this moment in time, Oscar Estupinan, a man that will put a smile on your face with seven goals, top goal scorer so far. You put him up in our future show at 66-1. And I had a check today just to see that he is now as low as 3-1 to be top goal scorer this season. So
I'd get out of that price if I could. I can promise you that.
Absolutely right. Wow. Yeah. But so he did draw a blank in midweek, unfortunately, but had scored seven in his three previous that. I don't know if you've been able to catch up with it yet. Obviously, haven't been away, but he scored a hat trick against Coventry. And the combined distance of those three goals, I think, was about 5 yards. Yeah. So all inside the 6-yard box. Exactly. Fox in the box is what he is. And as I say, any side that's got that, any scraps in the box, you know, he's there to finish them off, which is fantastic. You look at Haaland's goals at the moment, all inside the width of the posts, and most of them inside the 6-yard box. So not a bad comparison. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic as far as Hull going forward. That tactic of scoring more than the opposition is a dangerous one when the opposition are a good side, and they've got a good side coming to visit them this weekend in Sheffield United. Another side that we won on during the week, so it's good sticking with the winning formulas here. We finally got on the right side of taking on Reading, having been done by the Millwall defeat at the weekend. We got a 4-0 win for Sheffield United against Reading, which was a bit more like it, a bit more what we expected this season. So very good, nice performance. I did mention in the midweek podcast that Ollie McBurney gone 40 games or over 40 games without scoring in the league. And he scored against Luton last Friday night and said, once he's got one, there's every chance he'll go and get another. And he did. He got the opener in midweek. So it's not only McBurney who's obviously now got that confidence and want to keep that place, because they have got strong competition for places, like we mentioned a little while ago with the squad. They have got that. And Dyer's a great player to watch. Direct, skillful, pacey, loves a shot, knows where the goal is performing really well. Exciting to watch up front. Doyle coming from Man City on loan. He's now getting some game time and getting a start. So it'll be interesting to see him progressing throughout the course of the season as well. Sander Burge is still there at the moment. So I'm assuming they're going to keep hold of him. And you've still got players like Rian Brewster who's sitting on the bench waiting for their chance, which is always... you got that kind of talent ready to come on and say capitalize on a moment so they can try and get in the side. Just tends to mean that you've obviously got a strong competition for places, which then results in great performances. They're top of the table at the moment, expect them to get plenty of chances against this Hull side. But with Hull as they are, expecting them to score as well. As far as Sheffield United are concerned, over 2.5 has copped in 4 of their last 5 games as well. So we've got good track record with these two sides at the moment for entertaining games with plenty of goals. So over 2.5 goals at -108 is the pick.
Lovely stuff. My second selection is, I think, a classic case of having to, you know, drop your preconceptions about clubs and just side with, you know, just basically betting on everything on a price. I have backed Reading for relegation. I have backed Reading on this show against Rotherham and they lost 4-0. But I think at the prices, you have to find a way to side with Reading at home to Stoke on Saturday. Even though I still am not convinced at all that their start to the season is a fair reflection of their strength. And it was no shock to see, in my opinion, them being demolished by one of the better teams in the league, Sheffield United, in midweek. Reading's home form this season, they've played 3 games at home. They've won them 2-1 against Cardiff, 3-0 at home to Blackburn, and then 1-0 at home to Middlesbrough. And even though the measure of those victories, you know, they were by no means dominant in any of the games, they were pretty good value for all three. Like, I don't think you could necessarily argue that they weren't. Even though Borough created chances at 1-0, Chris Wilder said after the game that he was very disappointed with the performance and didn't think they deserved anything out of it. So you've got a Reading team who've been very good at home under Paul Ince, hosting a Stoke side who have recently sat their manager, Michael O'Neill. They've appointed a manager that I am very, very keen on in Alex Neil. But I'm not entirely sure. Firstly, I don't buy into the manager bounce. New manager bounce is a myth. All it is sometimes is just pure variance that a manager normally gets sacked after a bad run of games. And realistically, because football is such a high variance sport due to low margin games and low goal scoring winning it, naturally, at the end of that course, you're going to have an uptick in form, in my opinion. I know other people will claim otherwise, especially when it comes to gambling, but I'm not really having it. And especially because Stoke's form up to that stage wasn't necessarily awful. You know, they beat Blackburn last time on the road before that. I'm not really seeing any reason to think that Alex Neil will come in and immediately improve things straight away. Now, we saw the first iteration of his side drawing 1-1 at home to Swansea midweek, where they were okay. You know, it took a very, very late goal from Tyrese Campbell to get them the point. But they're kind of heavy favourites here, and I just don't think that is necessarily a true reflection of what we've seen from Reading so far at home. So, you know, as I say often to friends of mine, with gambling, there should be a price at which you would back every single outcome. And even though I'm still not convinced by Reading at all, I think getting a, you know, you're getting on the Asian handicap -129, Reading plus a quarter. So if the game ends a draw, half your bet is a winner and half of it is refunded. It is too good to pass up. So despite, I'm sure I haven't made a great case here, but I just think at the price, I think Reading should be a little bit shorter in the main market. I'm not really willing to back them, but I think taking the draw on side and getting behind them at a shade of odds on is the way that I'm looking to play it. It's almost an apologetic tip, but there you go. Reading plus a quarter at -129 is my second. Jack, over to you.
Yeah.
But number three.
It'll be interesting to see. He's got great record, Alex Neil, but he normally gets a bad result in his second game, having seen his performances at Norwich and then at Sunderland. So
nice. There we go.
There we go.
Done. It's done.
Yeah, there we are. We'll have that as an extra bit of confidence. So,
yeah.
Okay, so I've done Saturday, I've done Sunday. I'm going to Monday now. Monday's game, which is going to be live on TV in the UK, Middlesbrough versus Sunderland, which is a really interesting game. And Borough's season has started... well, continue to be an absolute disaster. They lost to Watford in midweek, and now season just 1 point above the relegation zone. This is a huge game for them and for Chris Wilder. Seeing he's been linked with the Bournemouth vacancy this week. I think he's third favourite for that. But he's got a lot on his plate here at this moment in time, trying to sort this Borough side out that are massively underperforming when you look at the side. Both teams to score is the bet that I'm going for. Odds of -130. And it's landed in six of Borough's seven games so far this season in the league. You mentioned the one that didn't, which is the Reading one, obviously, which was the surprise result where Reading managed to win that 1-0. They're yet to keep a clean sheet. No clean sheet in any of their seven games this season. We probably thought that the issues might be up front and scoring goals rather than the fact that not being able to keep a clean sheet with like some decent signings at the back. But that's not proven to be the case at all. They have got talent going forward. We've seen that. We've talked about it a lot. Muniz obviously has come into the side in the last week and got off the mark midweek with a goal at Watford. So that'll do his confidence good and give Borough some confidence that they've got someone to finish off the chances. Ryan Giles, that we've obviously looked forward to seeing perform this season, three assists for him already. So that's going as expected, going into plan. Obviously got Isaiah Jones out on the other side. We've talked about him quite a lot. Borough have been another side that we've mentioned and we've won on a few times based on their goals situation. They've got the players to do that, but at the minute, they're just given so many chances defensively and it's probably not a better side in the league at the moment to take advantage of that than Sunderland. And again, another side that we've backed and talked about quite a lot on the show over the first 7 weeks of the season or seven games of the season. And they continue to impress. You mentioned Alex Neil, obviously. There was a load of furore about that being sacked just before the Norwich game. They shrugged it off. They were the better side against Norwich without a shadow of a doubt. Lost it 1-0, but hit the bar twice, had chances galore, shots cleared off the line, goalmouth scrambles, the lot. It was all going on and realistically should have certainly got something out of the game. Then gone on from that, obviously Tony Mowbray's come in now as their manager, a real safe pair of hands. And it was like a seamless transition as far as their home form's concerned. Swept aside Rotherham 3-0 midweek. Stewart again with another couple of goals, sort of goals there, two for him, both assisted by Oh, Clark. There we go.
Assist
by Clark. Yeah, yeah. And then he returned the favour for Clark to score the third goal as well. So really impressive performance. Looks good as well. They've obviously got Sims, who's lively up front as well. Pritchard playing well this season. So they've got goals inside. And again, another side that will probably give you chances. So it looks like defensively, these sides are a little bit questionable, but certainly going forward, there's goals in them. I say both teams to score for me is a solid bet here. Looking forward to watching it. It'll be on the TV on in the UK, as I said, on Monday night. So I'll be settling down for that. And looking forward to seeing both teams attack and both teams score at odds of -130.
Lovely stuff. I am going back to the Preston well, ridiculously. I can't believe after that whole spiel last week about the ketchup bottle and the rest of it, Preston drew 0-0 again. Away at Cardiff, and I'm backing overs again for all the same reasons that I mentioned last week, at +135, over 2.5 goals, Preston versus Birmingham. I mean, this is turning into one of the weirdest quirks I think I've ever seen in a football season, where we're 7 games into the season. Preston have played 7, won 2, drawn 5. Those 2 wins have both been 1-0, one of which came in midweek. And all 5 draws have been 0-0. So they've played 7 games. They've conceded 2. So they've conceded no goals, 7 clean sheets in a row, and they've scored just twice. Now that, for those who didn't watch the show last week, normally, obviously, that would put you off ever going near an overs bet. But I have to say again, the stats continue to show that they are a team who are creating loads of chances and aren't necessarily that good defensively either. You know, looking at Opta's XG stats, again, they have conceded an expected goals value of over 6 so far this season and are yet to concede. In terms of what they've created, they've created an XG of 8 and yet have only scored twice. Something has to give. This just cannot continue the way that it is at the moment. In Birmingham, we've got a side who, you know, they're a little bit more high scoring in terms of their games than the team I had them against last time in Cardiff. Birmingham are pretty porous defensively. They've conceded an XG of around about 9, conceding 8 goals from those as well, so about where you'd expect them to be. And going forward, they aren't great, but they're by no means poor. You know, they've created about 6 as well. So, you know, they're playing against a side who'd certainly have defensive issues. I expect that Ryan Lowe will be able to get Preston, as ever, to cause problems. Whether or not they can get them to score, I think it is just a matter of time. So, yeah, I mean, this is a proper one for real football men who think the data is nonsense. Who will be? I'm sure there'll be loads of people backing 0-0 and under 1.5, under 2.5 in this game against those who are a slave to the data like me and just have to keep banging this drum because I, you know, I have to be true to myself and what I believe in, and that is that if Preston matches continue to go as they are, we're going to have to at some point see a reversion to the mean and goals flying in. So over 2.5 goals yet again for me in Preston against Birmingham at +135. I think we're getting a decent price because, as I say, just 2 goals in their 7 games so far in total. They haven't even covered over 2.5 in 7 games. It's absolutely mad. On to League One. It's my pick in League One. So you're stuck with me again. Derby versus Plymouth Argyle is the game I'm looking at. I put up Peterborough last week against Derby. I backed Peterborough at Derby and it was only a red card that really cost us there, with a Peterborough taking the lead with 10 men and then going on to lose it 2-1 against Derby away from home. It's basically a similar theory here. I think that Plymouth Argyle are being massively undervalued in terms of how good they are. We saw them dispatch Forest Green away from home last weekend to show that they are a capable team on the road. And then in midweek, they beat a very good Bolton side 2-0 as well. Stephen Schumacher is building a side that I think are very good. I almost think they are possibly the third best team in the league behind Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday, but that isn't being reflected in their price in the market at all. They have a wealth of options going forwards. And they're playing against a Derby side who are definitely very solid at home, but I do still feel like their good home form is set to come to an end fairly soon, as was nearly the case against Peterborough. You know, it took them to be against 10 men in order to get the win. And even then, they only scored in the very last minute to get the 3 points. So, yeah, I think Derby are way too short. And the way I'm playing this is just similar to the Reading bet, backing Plymouth +0.25 at +138, meaning if the game ends in a draw, we get a half of our bet up as a winner and half of it as voids, but make profit on the game. So that's my League One pick. And you're looking in League Two.
Yeah, I'm going in League Two, defending my 100% record in League Two this season so far. I did have this side shortlisted last weekend. It's Leighton Orient, and they duly obliged, although we didn't get a chance to, because I went for Sheffield Wednesday in the end, who won 5-0, so can't complain. but they're home to Tranmere this weekend, and I'm backing them just as a straight-up win, minus 1-2-4 of the odds. Doing really well. I said they won 4-2 last weekend against Hartlepool, a poor side. That made it 3 wins from 3 home games for them. Keeps them top of the table. Richie Wellens is doing a really good job there. Came in at the back end of last season, and he's now won 12 of his 19 games in total in charge. So a really, really strong record. They brought in Charlie Kelman on loan from QPR, who's started scoring goals for him, scored 3 in his last 4. So expect him to be in the forefront again this weekend against a Tranmere side that have underperformed. Really, I had them challenging for the playoffs. Obviously, this is still early days, so that's still within scope. But they're in the lower part of the mid-table at this moment in time. They will be a tougher test than the Hartlepool, who are second from bottom. But they have got off to a poor start, and especially away from home. They've only picked up 1 point from their 3 away games, and that point was at Hartlepool, as I said, who only have 2 points themselves, sitting down in second from bottom. The two sides they lost to were Mansfield and Newport. Mansfield are just outside the playoff positions at the minute. Newport, I say again, another side that are just below Tranmere in the league. So no one, again, who's been tearing up trees, and they're the sides they played against this season, realistically, it's only Stevenage that are up there in the mix up the top end of the table. The rest have been kind of sides around mid to lower end. So it's not even that excuse for Tranmere at the minute. So they look in a poor state of form at this moment in time. And I say against this Leighton Orient side that have carried on the good work from the back end of last season, playing really, really, really well at the moment, scoring goals, strong home record. So I'm happy to take one a straight win here. As I said, odds of minus 1-2-4.
Lovely stuff. Those are our selections ahead of this weekend's EFL action. Thank you very much to Jack for taking the time to talk through his. Hopefully plenty of winners in there. Do follow the @ because we win Twitter handle, all new Twitter handle this season. All of the sports handicappers across the Bet Rivers network up on there. Loads of great shows. Bagging in the winners as well in the US Open tennis. Recommend following there as well. And you can find our Twitter handles there as well. So do follow that on social media and do subscribe to the Bet Rivers Network YouTube channel. And please do leave a review as well. It all helps. And you can find this show and all the other shows on any podcast provider as well. Fingers crossed, we've given you some winners ahead of what should be another cracking weekend of EFL action. As you say, Jack, it's coming thick and fast at this stage of the season. But we'll be back again next week. In the meantime, please do ensure you're gambling responsibly and check out the Bet Rivers site for all of your betting needs.